Lord, as we think about these rather strange passages, we ask that you'd open our eyes to understand and give us a greater glimpse of who Jesus is and what he means to us. In his name, amen. Many years ago, when I was a callow 18-year-old, I played in my first game of what was then called first-class rugby. And we had a Welsh captain, and he was full of oil and great lyricism as he worked us up for this game to inspire us to play well. And he was talking particularly to the back row forwards and the locks, and encouraged them to pile into the rucks and mauls in the way that people did in those days. And he pointed to the New Zealand hooker in the side, and he said, "He's the man. Follow that." And I won't say what he said next. But the idea was that they should go with him and pile in. He's the man. When Jesus was teaching, what was the name that he most used of himself where we see it in the Gospels? Answer: the man, or the Son of Man. That's actually the phrase he used, which could be paraphrased as simply the man. And it's a phrase that appears in the Old Testament in many places. Often, prophets are simply referred to as Son of Man when God addresses them and gives them a message to speak or instructions as to what to do. And then it simply means human being. But when Jesus calls himself Son of Man, it's to point out that he is truly human, but also to point out, when people stop to think about it, that whereas Adam was a man who fails and shows us what a man is like, who fails and lives life without God, or wants to live life without God and his instruction, Jesus is the man. He's all that a human really ought to be, living life as God intended. So he's human, and he's special. He's different from other humans who are wrong-headed where God's concerned, who all fail and do and get things wrong. He is the man. He is God's Son of Man. We're thinking about dreams again today. People have dreams. Some dream of marriage. Some dream of power. Last week we thought about Jesus' adopted father Joseph's dream about marriage. This week we're thinking about a friend of Jesus' dream, a younger friend of Jesus, John, and his dream is about power. But in each case, the dream was about Jesus. So it'd be good if you turn to that passage in Revelation at page 1233. I wonder if you realized when you read it, or it was read to us, that the dream is all about Jesus. How do we know? Well, who else could say what is said in verse 18? "I am the living one. I was dead. And behold, I am alive forever and ever." This is someone who has risen from the dead. It can only be Jesus. At Christmas, we need to think about Jesus as a helpless baby, but also to think of him as he now is, the one who holds the key to death and life after death. You see, he says that, "I hold the keys of death and Hades. I am the living one." I wonder if you thought much about the description that is given of him there in verse 13 onwards. "Someone looking like a Son of Man" is the expression used. Son of Man. He looks human. But he's dressed in a robe with a gold sash. He's a man of importance and authority. Some have thought that referred to being a priest, but Probably not. It's simply showing his power and authority. His white hair, white as wool or snow, not grey hair as in old age, but white hair. It's distinguished. Of course it's distinguished to have both grey and white hair, but white hair, white as wool or snow. Eyes like blazing fire. Feet glowing like bronze when heated in the fire. A face shining like the sun. And a voice like rushing water, powerful and life-giving. And there's a sword, a double-edged sword, that appears to come out of his mouth. His word is powerful, it's able to cut through anything put in its way, and it's a word that judges. And he has seven stars in his right hand, signifying the people of God to whom the letter here was written. And I expect you notice that that description, actually we'll look at another picture. I don't know which of these two pictures you think is the most accurate in the light of what we've just read. Hard to say really, isn't it? But it's obviously quite difficult to picture. We have this extraordinary image that's given to us. That one doesn't look as though he's got feet like burnished bronze, but I may be mistaken. Maybe behind the menorah, the candlesticks, it's there. But this is a powerful image, isn't it? Certainly a powerful image to see in a dream. Difficult to describe and difficult to picture. But it's similar, isn't it, to the descriptions that we had in the book of Daniel that we read earlier. If you were to look at Daniel chapter 7 again, we see that dream of the Ancient of Days on a throne. That is God himself. In a courtroom about to judge. And the description there is similar. Hair white as wool, a throne flaming like fire, a river of fire flowing out from him, and then someone like a son of man comes with the clouds of heaven and is given total power and authority to rule over all humans forever. That was the first bit of the reading we had. And then the second bit in Daniel 10, we saw Daniel dreaming of seeing a messenger of God. And he's a man dressed in a robe with a belt of gold, a face like lightning, eyes like torches, arms and legs like polished bronze, and the voice like that of a multitude, a huge crowd, powerful in its effect. Well, what are we meant to make of all this? Jesus' friend John, in his dream and revelation, doubtless knew these passages. No doubt they were absorbed in his subconscious, and he has this dream, and it has some of the same features that we can see of Daniel's own visions. But what we see is this. Jesus is the Son of Man, and the man, the perfect human. Jesus is described in John's dream like Daniel's dream of the Ancient of Days, of God himself. And Jesus is described in John's dream like Daniel's dream of God's messenger in the second bit of Daniel. So what's it telling us? Well, it's very simple really, isn't it? John's dream is telling us that Jesus is human. It's telling us that Jesus is God, and it's telling us that Jesus brings messages from God. In case you're in any doubt about that, in that passage in Daniel 7, the figure of the Son of Man is given total power and authority. And in Revelation 1, not only does he appear powerful beyond imagination, but he says in verse 17, I am the first and the last. I am the living one. Do you see what he's saying? I was here before anything else existed. I will always be here. I am life itself, the living God. And just as God the Father, his Father, says in verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the A and the Z in our language, the beginning and the end, who was and is to come, the Almighty. So Jesus' own words carry the same force and effect. He is both man and God. In Daniel chapter 10, the Son of Man figure, who's the messenger there, says to Daniel, you're trying to understand. You're trying to do what God wants. He prays. And that's why I've come to you, to explain. In Revelation 1, the figure tells John to write down what he sees and tells him that he's there with his people. He's the figure who speaks to his church from amongst the seven lampstands. If you want to understand, if you want to know more, if you want to see who God is, what he wants of you, then what we're being told is look to and listen to Jesus. He is God making himself known to us in a way we can understand. Follow him. He's the man. The baby whose birth we celebrate is not just a typical child, and the celebration's not just that of a memorable birth which typifies the best of family life. This squalling little boy is the man, the Son of Man, who now has total authority over us all. He's God himself. Come as a man, not just to tell us what God wants of us, but also to put us right with him, to put right what Adam got wrong, what each of us does in seeking to live life without reference to him as our total boss, as our Lord, as our Master. In the same chapter in Revelation, the writer says this, to start off with, grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us, and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power, for ever and ever. Amen.